Hi, and welcome to Macro Wednesday, where we talk macro and try to make sense of inflation that really doesn't make any sense. And with the CBI coming out on Friday, and over the last couple weeks, many people pointing out that I'm not smart enough to understand that prices have gone up, and therefore there's something must be completely wrong with me because I can't see inflation, even though it's staring me completely in the face. I thought it would be a great opportunity today to discuss inflation and how I view it. You see, I am a student of the monetary system and the history of monetary policy. And the common definition today for inflation is an increase in consumer prices. As many of you pointed out, can't you see that all these things have gone up in prices? Something I bought 20 years ago, it's worth more. But as a student of monetary policy, I look at inflation as the expansion of a currency or currency printing. So I look at it from a different lens. It's not that I don't see that prices have gone up, it's that I'm asking why they have gone up. Have they gone up due to an increase in currency? Because when you go back in time, you see that inflation, in terms of an expansion of the currency, led to increased prices. And in terms of interest rates, you got it, higher interest rates. That's how it would work. Today, we look at it differently. We have this consumer price index, which, yes, I am fully aware, does not take into account many of the things that we spend money on. But hey, I didn't write the consumer price index. If you have an issue with that, I would certainly encourage you to direct your complaints to the Fed or whomever creates this thing. And then we use the consumer price index to try to determine if there is inflation, or that perhaps that higher consumer prices will lead to currency creation. And it doesn't work and it doesn't make any sense. So, you know, when I look at how this works and you hear me say, I don't see inflation, it's because I'm looking at, say, treasury yields, and I can go back here during a period of the 70s and early 80s where there was a clearly currency, an expansion of currency, and interest rates went up. And that is inflationary. And then for the next 40 years, interest rates have gone down to where they're pretty much at a record low level. That is not a sign of inflation. See, higher interest rates are a sign of easy monetary policy or inflation. And falling interest rates are a sign of tight financial conditions. Easy financial conditions, tight financial conditions. And so when I look at treasury yields, I see there's no real sign that currency printing is driving consumer prices up. Now, there are other factors that happen that seems that people really don't spend much time thinking about. And that is, for a perfect example, in California, and I don't know if it's in my area or statewide, that new homes are mandated at some date to have a minimum number of solar panels. So, of course, you know, builders are going to put the minimum number on and charge more for people who want more. Now, that will cause housing prices to rise. And under the modern definition of inflation, that is inflationary. But is it an expansion of the currency supply? No, so I don't consider it inflationary. I consider it an increase in price due to a law that requires that homes have something on it that they don't have now. And that means that all homes will probably go up in value, even the ones that don't have solar panels. Although I have an entire power system on my roof that overgenerates like nothing you've seen before. But nevertheless, you have things that cause prices to go up. Take the pandemic, for example, and let's look at restaurants. Now, restaurants here in many places, particularly in California, have to do outdoor dining. They have to do extra sanitary stuff, and that raises prices. Oh, that's inflationary. No, it's not an expansion of the currency supply. It's an increase in price due to regulation requiring more expenses. See, I don't look at the two as the same. Because when you have an expansion of the currency supply, you will have higher interest rates, you will have higher consumer prices. But when you have higher prices and you do not have a corresponding increase in the currency supply to support those higher prices, eventually come down. And that's why we have bubbles in things like stocks and real estate. So you go back to the great financial crisis. Money was being directed into housing. Why? Because people thought that was the best return on their money. And housing prices went up, as we all know. Up, 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 up. And people thought they were going to go up forever. They were never going to stop going down. But what happened is there was only so much money in the system. The currency supply wasn't expanding at a fast enough rate. And eventually it reversed and prices went down. The bubble popped. So that's what I look at when I'm thinking about inflation. Is it due to an expansion of the currency, or is it just prices going up either because there is a supply and demand component, is a law change, regulation, or maybe just a business that wants to raise its prices because it has too much? That could be too. And that is not an expansion of the currency supply. So how do we confirm there is no currency printing inflation? Well, there's a lot of things that tell us that. Well, we can look at treasury yields, which we did. We could look at the dollar. Let's go look at it. So think about this. If there was inflation from an expansion of currency, well, doesn't that mean there would be more dollars, right? So that means the dollar should be headed much lower, which is the popular view right now, that the dollar is headed significantly lower. Yet I have said, and I will once again prove, the dollar is headed higher. How about the money multiplier? You can go back and look at a period where inflation was really high. The money multiplier was in the 11. So money was moving. This is not the correct definition, but it's the simple Steve definition, is money was exchanging hands around 11 times before it dies. Today, no, it's hardly exchanging hands at all, less than 4. So there's no currency printing inflation going on now relative to what it was then. In fact, we can see a decrease there. How about the velocity of money, or how many times money exchanges hands? Wow, I've gone back as far as this goes, and there's even charts that go back. Whoops, no, I didn't go back as far as it goes. Let's go back, and you can see that, yes, the velocity of M2 is really low. That is not a sign of inflation. That is a sign of disinflation or deflation. It does not mean that prices can't go higher. It just means from a currency printing standpoint, we do not have inflation. And when you do not have currency printing to back up higher prices will get reversed. It is just inevitable of how the system works. So we fixate on this consumer price index. Now, why does the Fed fixate on this? Even though we all agree that this is a flawed index because the Fed deliberately takes things out of it that we spend every day. Yes, I'm fully aware of that. Why do they fixate on this? Because if they tried to focus on the currency expansion of currency, well, they couldn't keep interest rates really low. They'd have to raise them. We all kind of know that. But look what's happened during the period here of the 70s and early 80s. The consumer price index was really high, a sign of actual inflation from the expansion of currency. And look at it now, very, very, very low. So the year-over-year rate of change is what I referred to when I talk about the consumer price index. And I know many of you have commented in the comments and on Twitter that this is what I am referring to, is what the Fed is referring to. Whether it's accurate or not doesn't matter. It's what the Fed uses. So as we look into the consumer price index, it's really actually follows import prices. And I want you to think about this for a second, and I'll come back to that. We are the largest importing nation in the world. So where do we get most of our consumer goods from? Other places, not internally, externally. So when people say, but college prices have gone up. Yes, that is not a consumer good. We import consumer goods. So effectively, our consumer price index is the price of goods leaving, say, the largest exporting nation in the world, or China. So monetary policy, and I want you to think about how dumb this is, that the Fed is trying to use monetary policy to influence the prices coming out of China on their way into the U.S. Now, I have a very simple way to fix that. It's called a border adjustment tax. That could raise the price of goods coming into this country overnight, and that would actually give us consumer goods inflation. Not something I'm really overly interested in, because, again, if prices go up and is not backed by an expansion of currency, they will come down. And that's why when people say, well, how are you so sure that home prices are going to come down? Simple, because when all the buyers exhaust themselves, and they eventually will, and we look at the data and we see there isn't a lot of lending growth in the real estate sector or the broad economy, which is why we look at that data every Friday, it tells me that asset prices have to eventually come down. And then that is why I am bearish on housing prices. So here you can see the consumer price index is really the import price index, which is really the price of goods and services coming out of China. Now, let's go on and look at what influences the consumer price index or prices coming prices on goods coming out of China, and that is the dollar. And you can see if we inverted one or the other against each other, when the dollar is strong, consumer price index goes down. And so, of course, everyone believes that the dollar is going to head to minus infinity, minus one in the near future, and consumer prices are going to go to infinity plus one, and we're going to have massive inflation. So the question then I ask for you is, exactly how many tools, I do require, you know, this show is about learning and understanding. So exactly how many tools does the Federal Reserve have to create dollars? Now, if you need some time, pause it. Okay, the answer is, ready? Zero. The Fed has zero tools to create dollars. None. Not one, not one and a half, not 0.5, zero tools. It does not have the ability to create dollars. Fed is a lending institution, not a printing institution. It has no tools to create dollars at all. So how do you get the dollar to go up or down if you do not have the tools to do it? Well, it's really simple. How are dollars created in the economy? Through the banking system when people borrow. Do people borrow more or less? Would depend on the rate of interest. So if interest rates go up, do they borrow more or less? Well, they will initially borrow significantly less. So how do you get people to borrow? You cause interest rates to go down. And how do you get interest rates to go down? You do something called quantitative easing. And what is one of the negative effects of quantitative easing? It pulls liquidity out of the system. It removes dollars from the system. That's why I've said interest rates will go down. Bond prices will go up. And the dollar will follow higher because the Fed, in order to create dollars, the Fed has to remove them. Think about it. If you have a enclosed system, right, and you put some dollars in there and they started massively expanding, interest rates would go up. So how do you make interest rates go down in that closed system? You have to destroy dollars. That's what QE does. It has the unintended effect of causing the dollar to go up in order to get it to go down when people borrow and create more dollars. That's why that Friday H.A data is so important to understand. And so we look at what's coming up on Friday, the consumer price index. Now, it would not surprise me if the consumer price index on a year-over-year basis goes up some. But is it going to go up, shooting up like everyone has claimed because they say the M2 money supply is going up, Steve? Inflation is going to go to infinity plus one. It has to. It's not possible. Well, it doesn't work that way. And here is the money multiplier against the consumer price index. So it would not surprise me if we see the consumer price index rise some. But the money multiplier is rolling over because of quantitative easing. It is suggesting that any further or any too many more increases in the CPI are going to be led by decreases in the CPI, which will be further compounded by an increase in the dollar. And now everyone keeps saying, but Steve, nobody wants to buy bonds. Interest rates have to go up. I mean, don't you understand? Yes, I do understand. Let's take a look at the bond market. Here is the short interest in TLT. And this was posted on Twitter today by Daniel DiMartino Booth, who pointed out that the change in short volume was up almost 18% over last month on the 20-year. See, everyone claims that nobody wants bonds. The reality is everyone is shorting and betting against the bond market. They're betting against the Fed. So you have this huge and growing position of against the bond markets. And people ask us, why did bond prices go down? Because people are betting against it. And if we look at Hedgeopia, we go and see the bets on 30-year bonds. So here's a speculative position on 30-year bonds. Even though this chart does not go back to the inception, this is the largest speculative short position in the history of the 30-year bond right now. So people are betting against it all the time. Now, the 30-year bond auction is tomorrow, but here's today's 10-year auction. And everyone's like, oh, these auctions are so terrible. No one wants to buy bonds. And yet, it's pretty surprising to me, the primary dealers, who everyone says doesn't want these things, bid almost $50 billion on a $35 billion auction. The primary dealers want bonds. The commercial banks want bonds, and they're not want them just to supply to the Fed. They want them because people say, well, this wouldn't happen if it wasn't for the Fed. If that's the case, then why don't the primary dealers just put their minimum bid in and drive interest rates up and force the Fed's hands? No, what they're telling you is they want bonds. And we can go and look at the 30-year here. And there's a reason why I keep saying that any increase in interest rates is going to be rejected, because there's no lending growth. There's none. I mean, there's no demand. So think about it. You know, people think that this is going to go up, 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 and up to infinity and beyond. Like this is Buzz Lightyear's jetpack or something. No, interest rates are a supply and demand component. So if there is no demand in terms of no lending growth right now, which we can go look at the data, all loans and leases on a rolling 90-day basis, it is negative. So there, but we'll just make it zero. So there's no demand. Actually, there's less than demand. But if there's no demand for lending at this current interest rate, how does it go higher? No, it goes lower. And yet the only reason it's up here is because you have these massive speculative short positions against the bond market, because everybody believes interest rates go higher because there is inflation. But yet, once you understand how this all plays out, you realize that QE is deflationary. It's going to cause interest rates to go down, which is exactly what it's designed to do, and we talked about last week. It's going to cause the dollar to go up, which is going to mean this consumer price index or import prices from China are going to go negative on a year-over-year basis, and that is very, very bullish for bond prices. And that's how it all plays out. That's how I see inflation. I see it as a currency printing. And why is that? Why would I think that? Yes, because I'm the bond king. And the bond king needs to know what's going on with bonds. And guess what? Consumer prices don't tell me. They don't tell me what's going on with the bond market. But the creation of currency or the destruction of currency tells me everything. Thanks for joining me today. We'll be back on Friday, where we will look at that deeper dive into the credit data, where we can already predict that we won't see any expansion of new debt. And we'll take a look at the consumer price index to see exactly if we got all of that inflation that the market's hoping for. But the bond market's already telling us it ain't there. I'm Steve Van Meter. Bye now. The content of this video is provided as educational information only and not intended to provide investment or other advice. This material is not to be construed as a recommendation or solicitation by selling security, financial instrument, or participating in a particular trading strategy. This video was prepared by Steve Van Meter. Your remote personal capacity opinions expressed in this video that do not reflect the view of Atlas Financial Advisors, Inc. or Steve Van Meter Financial.